USA, USA, USA. Oh, greetings, fellow pyromaniacs, and happy 4th of July to all of our U.S. listeners. On this festive new episode, we're going to reveal our favorite 4th activities, and it's clear to me Alexi Heath will be in jail by the 5th. Plus, a weird breakthrough app has us texting Hodor to all of our friends. Apple killed off Aperture and iPhoto. Siri might finally understand us after a rumored Apple update. And did you know Steve Jobs always ate lunch alone like a sad Keanu Reeves? It's true. Well, maybe. Alex doesn't believe a word of it. We'll tell you the whole story coming up. But first, I want to give a big shout out to our new sponsor, Oyster. I am genuinely excited to have these guys supporting us. Think of them like Netflix, but for ebooks. Oyster is a beautifully designed subscription-based app that gives you access to read unlimited ebooks for just $9.95 a month. They've been featured on the Today Show and CNN, and TechCrunch named them one of the best apps of 2013. Oyster is creating a better way to read by providing instant access to 500,000 books right at your fingertips. Plus, their library includes titles from the top publishers like Simon & Schuster and HarperCollins, and even a lot of the independent publishers. And they have everything from The Hobbit to Stephen King to thousands of New York Times bestsellers. Oh, and Oprah's picks. You guys know I'm big on those. Check it out yourself. If you're a big reader like I am, I think you're going to love it. Head on over to oysterbooks.com/cultcast. You'll get your first month free. There's absolutely no risk, so give it a shot. oysterbooks.com/cultcast. All right, y'all. I'm ready to party. Where'd I put that red, white, and blue Speedo?
Give it to me dirty.
Heinster.
Oh, sorry. I didn't. Oh. How are you doing?
I wasn't ready for dirty talk. Sorry. I am now.
Hey. That's just what I go into that. Yeah, what I see, it's just that. You and me.
I'm like, damn. The automatic mode. I noticed that too. The best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Aaron Elijah. I'm joined by two handsome fellas. The first, you know him, you love him, Buster. Hey, Buster.
Hey, dude.
Oh yeah, Alex Excelsior, he's here too.
Uh-huh. Hey, Alex.
You know him. He's here. Yeah.
You miss me?
Hey, we did miss you. Welcome back, pal.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
You were on vacation for a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, man.
I swear you go on vacation for 2 weeks every 2 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, man. It's the life.
You do. You have the life.
Getting some sun rays.
Yeah, are you nice and tan now?
Yeah, man. It's, the Speedo does wonders.
Oh, Buster, you got some competition. Hey, before we hop into the show, so many fun things to talk about this week. I want to thank our sponsor, Smile Software. You've probably heard me say this before, and I mean it every single time. If you haven't tried Text Expander from Smile Software, available on iOS and on your Mac, you're missing out on one of the most useful apps available for the Mac or for your iOS devices. That's because Text Expander saves you time and effort by expanding short abbreviations into frequently used text, pictures, blocks of code, and so much more. It's an application I use every single day. Try it out yourself. Head on over to smilesoftware.com/cultcast. And we want to thank Smile Software for sponsoring this episode. Alex, where were you at?
I was down in Panama City. Bastion of classiness.
Wow. I've never been down there. Is it just like Beach Town, USA, right?
Yeah, it's this really weird combination of like families vacationing and rednecks and college students.
Yeah, well, isn't it like a popular spring break?
Yeah, it's like a big spring break spot.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Was it
really nice? Really nice beaches, though.
Are they covered in BP oil?
No.
That's good.
No. Cigarette butts
and moonshine bottles?
No.
And so you went down there with your Speedos.
Yeah, my Speedos. And your straw hat. Yeah, and for the first time I used a waterproof iPhone case.
Oh.
That I used to take some pictures, which you can find on my Instagram, Alex Heath on Instagram.
Was that the one did you use that one for that photo you posted when you were underwater? That actually came out really good.
Yeah, and I have some more I haven't posted, but it was really nice. It's the LifeProof Nude case, which is, it doesn't have a screen protector, which is amazing. The design's really cool. It suctions around the display so that no water can get in, but you don't have...
Doesn't it have a screen protector on it?
There's no screen protector. Yeah.
Wow.
So you don't,
that
you don't
would make me really nervous.
It made me super nervous. And I tested it under like the faucet first, like just with a little bit of water because I was really worried. But man, I use that thing like crazy every day in the pool, in the ocean, completely underwater. And it did.
And so it,
it
suctions down around and over like the sides and back of your iPhone.
Yeah. Yeah. And like the back is clear and. Huh. Like, yeah, so there's no glare from having a screen protector, and it's a lot easier to use the display because you don't have that extra, you know, film there. And it's really thin and, you know, light. So by far my favorite waterproof case, or really just any protective case I've ever used.
So it must also cover where the opening is that you put up to your ear. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It covers everything. But
I gotta see the front of this thing. I'm having a hard time imagining what it must look like.
It's literally literally like an OtterBox, like a really thin OtterBox without a screen protector. Imagine that.
What did you say it was called? The LifeProof what?
LifeProof Nude. It's like N, spelled weird. It's like N-U-U-D.
Oh, yeah. The two U's have two umlauts over E.
Yeah.
That is a little weird.
But it
for
the 5S, it even has Touch ID support, so I could use Touch ID underwater.
This is pretty cool. Sweet. $90. Well, yeah. $60, actually.
Really nice case.
Oh, very cool. And I enjoyed seeing shirtless pictures of you underwater. So
exactly. And that's another reason. It's great. Yeah.
Hey, I know we got a lot of Apple stuff to talk about, but happy 4th of July, fellows. This is our 4th of July episode, and I thought maybe to kick things off.
We could sing the national anthem.
We could sing the entire national anthem in harmony, three-part harmony.
Okay.
No, actually, I was just thinking maybe we could talk about what we're going to be doing for 4th of July and what kinds of activities you guys normally partake in.
Oh, okay.
I hope it has a little bit to do with drinking, fighting.
Pipe bombs.
Filleting. Pipe bombs. I'm going to throw a stick of dynamite in somebody's exhaust pipe and just let it go. That's usually how I kick off the holiday. What about you guys?
I'm not joking about the pipe bomb.
M80s don't count as pipes, dude.
No, didn't do it last year because we found out when we did it 2 years ago that it's considered an act of terrorism.
Yeah, you're gonna get sent to Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, but we ever since that mailbox dude, they really hate pipe bombs.
Yeah, I would imagine they do.
But we set a pipe bomb off in the middle of a park 2 4th of July's ago, and I kid you not, it created like an 8-foot crater in the soccer field. And
as far as firecrackers go, how
I didn't make it. I was just an accomplice. But
yeah, you were just there holding your sparkler, and you're like, guys, what are you doing? That looks illegal. Don't. Yeah. And then you ran.
No, I 6-foot like fire blast in the air. I mean, it was amazing. I don't think I'll ever be able to top that 4th of July experience.
I gotta say, as an American kid, that is one of the joys of the holiday, isn't it? Is all the firecrackers that you like get to ignite afterwards in the dumpsters, in like the bodies of water, all the places where legally they shouldn't be. You get to light them off there, and that's what it's like to be a 14-year-old. Or a 13-year-old.
Coldcast does not endorse pipe bombs.
Yes, please don't blow off any of your appendages, especially the important ones. Buster, what about you?
Dude, I'm just gonna go to the mountains
and be by yourself.
No, I'm going there for the girlfriend's like has a family reunion going on somewhere in northern Arizona, so we're taking off.
Cool.
Yeah, it should be cool. Just chilling by a lake and some green trees and maybe some fireworks. They're pretty like illegal here in Arizona.
Yeah, that's
what
I was
wondering.
Illegal
everywhere?
I don't know. Like in New Mexico where I grew up, we used to have awesome huge fireworks, but in Arizona they're a bunch of wussies, man.
I guess it's pretty dry, so they probably don't want the whole downtown Arizona to get burned down.
Yeah. Downtown Arizona.
Yeah, up in Washington we don't have that problem. There's plenty of rain. In fact, usually what ends up happening is the day before it'll be beautiful and sunny. And then on the 4th of July, it will be overcast, and they'll shoot the fireworks up in and past the clouds. So all you see are the clouds changing colors.
Nice.
And that's it. And of course, you have a few ales. And if there's Stella Artois, you get in a couple fights.
Oh, dude, a wife beater?
Oh, yeah. Those are really popular up here.
Are they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially in certain parts of Washington.
It's not PBR anymore?
What do you mean, PBR? You mean like beer?
Pabst Blue Ribbon, yeah.
Oh, you mean the Stella Artois? Are they popular?
Yeah,
I think PBRs are probably more popular, and of course the local vintage, the Rainier Ale, is also very popular.
No one's going to be drinking Belgian beer.
I might drink a couple Belgian beers. I mean,
if so, you're not American.
I have no problem with Belgians. In fact, I love our Belgian listeners, Alex. Even though we let them win in the football match, you know, I have no problems with them. And guess what? Their beers are delicious. So even if they did win legitimately, which they didn't, we all know that. But even if they did, I still wouldn't have a problem with their beers. You should try out a good Belgian ale. It's one of the best out there.
Oh. Tim Howard for president.
I don't even know who that is.
I love that you don't know who that is, AirPods. It's your quality.
Okay. Let's move on to some Apple stuff, shall we?
I guess.
Yeah, let's talk about some Apple stuff.
We have to.
Buster, I know that you like the word yo. We say it to each other all the time. Big news with that word this week. You care to tell us about it?
Dude, have you yo'd before?
I'm more of a Hodor myself.
Oh, amen. Hodor is my favorite app.
Hodor is where it's at.
Yeah, Hodor is where it's at. I love it. I just downloaded it. So why don't you start us at the genesis of this movement, Buster?
Yo suddenly became this popular app, like I think a week or 2 weeks ago. And all it does is it allows you to like send yo those two letters to your friend's iPhone screen with a single tap.
Do you have to know their username or anything?
Well, it can connect to your phone contacts to find contacts that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you know, I can yo up Leander all day and just send him a flurry of yos.
I do like to say yo a lot, so for me this is really appealing.
I mean, it's a pretty pointless app, you know. I think everybody, like, I think even Stephen Colbert, like, did a feature on it, and it was hilarious, where he tried to talk with, like, his intern via yos, and it was hilarious. But it actually has become somewhat useful this week, because they added IFTTT integration, so that you can, like, yo your light bulbs and turn them off, or you can yo your thermostat and switch it off. So it's kind of like, now it's kind of like a control switch for your house in some ways, too, for all your smart devices.
And then I guess some other enterprise and developer was like, this app is so pointless, I'm going to create my own version, and he created the Hodor app. Hodor.
Which I think that was it's more brilliant than yo.
That is truly brilliant. Dude, it is.
The sound. Have you listened to the soundbite it plays?
No, I've been trying to freaking find someone who uses it so I can.
I'll send do it.
One. Yeah, send one to me.
Yeah, I will.
What's your username?
Gosh, what is my username? It's I think it's, what is it? It's like your mama or something like that.
Dude, don't talk about my mom.
Yeah,
your mama. Is that U R or Y O U R?
I don't know. I need to double check. I haven't.
I think more importantly, I'm going to start using this as a greeting in my own life. Hodor.
Yeah, the guy that made the app, after I wrote about it, emailed me. He like works at Medium, I think. Mm-hmm. And he said, he was like, thanks for writing about us. And he was like, they have like 9,000 users of the app who have sent like 40,000 Hodors in like a week.
So basically, it's the same as yo, except it just sends the word Hodor, which is from Game of Thrones. And if you don't know why that's using Game of Thrones, well, then you're not going to get the joke. So you should go watch that show.
Yeah.
Would you guys add me and send me a Hodor? I think I'm. Sure. I think I'm Hodorfon. I couldn't think of anything else more creative. Some other fun news this week. Tim Cook apparently showed up at the San Francisco Gay Pride Parade. And I don't know if he was dressed in any type of like outfits. I imagine him as being dressed as the Gimp from Pulp Fiction. But I've never been to a San Francisco Gay Pride Parade. I imagine they get pretty crazy.
Dude, I went.
You did go, didn't you?
It wasn't last year. I think I went 2 years ago to Pride, and it was an interesting experience.
It was really cool, man. Well, apparently, and this is pretty cool, Apple was there, Tim Cook was there, and they were handing out $1 iTunes gift cards to people at the parade.
So half the song.
Yeah, exactly. So people got a certificate to be able to download one song from iTunes for free, which is cool. And in future news, It's Raining Men is the number one single on iTunes.
It's raining men! Hallelujah, it's raining men!
sing that one for 24 hours.
That was good.
And I saw some pictures from the event. I'm pretty sure Leander was there.
And oh, really?
His outfit was questionable. Yeah.
He didn't have the mullet, though.
Well, no, the mullet's long gone, unfortunately. And, you know, I joked about the leather outfit for Tim Cook, which he was probably very appropriately dressed in, like, a business attire. But Leander Kenny was definitely wearing a leather outfit. It had, like, zippers all over it and stuff. And he had multiple, he had, like, a tool belt with, like, multiple devices on the belt. Some of them were highly inappropriate. He had, like, whips and stuff on it.
Like,
that guy knows how to party.
Were we talking dildos and stuff like
what?
That?
What?
Sorry.
Well, yes. Yeah, that's what I was talking about, actually. Those and whips and assortment of vials that had clear liquids in them, you know.
Gosh.
Alex, you still there?
I was just thinking about it.
Are you perspiring?
Oh, I just...
Are you dabbing your forehead with some type of cloth? In actual Apple news, Alex, I'm going to go to you on this one. I think you wrote this. Audi, Dodge, and seven more automakers committed to CarPlay?
Yeah.
Good news for those of us not planning on buying a new car in the next 5 years. You care to elaborate a little bit more?
Yeah, which I've never heard of two of these. A Barth?
A Barth is a Fiat brand, isn't it?
Okay. A Barth Alfa Romeo?
Alfa Romeo.
Alfa Romeo, Audi, Chrysler, Dodge, Fiat, Jeep, and Mazda, and Ram.
Oh, these are all under the Chrysler lineup. That's what it
right.
is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
And so that's 29 brands that Apple has, and I think Android Auto, which is Google's ripoff of CarPlay, I think they have like 40, but a lot of them are going to be... A lot of them will offer both, so it'll be kind of like pick your poison. When you get your car, do you want Android Auto or do you want CarPlay? And I think Ferrari and Mercedes and Volvo and I think Honda are the only are the only are the only partners that are going to have vehicles out by the end of the year with it. But the good news is, which I don't know if you guys are considering this, but I am the aftermarket scene with like Pioneer and Alpine, they're going to have their aftermarket devices ready for CarPlay by the end of the year as well. I think actually Pioneer's is going to be doing it via a firmware update to existing models month. They've got, Pioneer has five systems already out that will be able to run it as of this month sometime.
You know, regardless of if you use Android or if you use Apple stuff, this is a win for everyone, I think, because I was listening to a report on, you know, just like car entertainment systems and control in the car via software and stuff. And these car manufacturers have to develop these systems like years in advance in order to be able to release them for their upcoming cars. So they just look really old as soon as you get them because they are old. They've been in development for years. And now with Android and with CarPlay, these systems can be updated much more dynamically. And plus, I don't know about you guys, I've never seen a single car dash system that I thought was good. All the ones I've seen look like absolute crap.
Terrible.
The UIs are garbage.
Even Tesla's looks like way too complicated. Like Tesla's is probably the best.
Probably among the best, yeah.
Yeah, but it still doesn't look that good.
And it has a lot of functionality in it, but I know a lot of those are designed, it looks like they're designed by engineers. So they just have like buttons everywhere, but they don't actually look very good. So this is going to be awesome. I mean, people who actually get access to this are probably going to have a much better in-car experience. In other related news, this was really surprising to me. Apple has killed off Aperture and iPhoto, and this kind of developed late last week. And
they've stopped development. Yeah, like the apps are still there, but yeah.
Well, they're still there, but I mean, they're done, man. I mean, Apple's making a game plan to transition people to Lightroom. Like they're working with Adobe.
They're not.
Not necessarily. They're bringing some of those Aperture features into like the new Photos app.
Yeah.
Like, but, it'll have extensibility so you can bring in, like, your plugins, like, your VSCO filters if you want into Photos, which should actually might be pretty cool.
It might be a very cool app, and I'm definitely not making a commentary on whether or not the new app is going to be good or bad, because I haven't used it. But I am surprised that they're getting rid of both Aperture and iPhoto. I'm a little bummed to see Aperture go because I thought I used Aperture for a while just to try it. And I switched to Lightroom because I found even though Aperture is a wonderful editing app and the editing interface is among the best I've seen. In fact, it probably is the best I've seen. It's not a very good. It is old. Yeah, but it was done very well right from the beginning. Lightroom, even though it's clunky, the UI isn't the best, it's a superior photo management app. And that's why I ended up going to it.
You think Lightroom is better at photo management?
I do, yeah, much better.
I think Lightroom has one of the most confusing photo management interfaces I've ever seen.
It is confusing. I mean, Lightroom's UI and user experience isn't great. Yeah, I totally agree. And their editing interface isn't good either. But it's powerful. So
it's very powerful, but it's just terrible.
So once you learn how to use it, you know, via lynda.com/Skullcast, and that's actually how I learned it. That's how I learned the application. Once you learn how to use it, it does so many things that I feel like Aperture just isn't very good at.
Yeah.
So in that regard, at least we still have a really good option.
Yeah, it's weird because I had heard like even recently that work on Aperture was going like that, like inside Apple they were still like considering a redesign and stuff. But I guess the Photos app was the answer. They decided to just roll it into one.
What's interesting also is that when the iOS 8 beta came out, Charlie even said, he's like, oh, iPhoto's gone. And I remember talking about this on one of the past shows, and I was like, hey, you know, like, that's not verified, you know, don't take my word for it. And he was right, and I was surprised when he said that, because I thought there's no way they got rid of iPhoto. But I'm actually kind of happy, because I never liked iPhoto, and I feel like getting photos off of my iPhone or iOS devices has always been a problem. And hopefully the new Photos application is going to fix that and make it easy to like transition. Actually, just have your photos exist in the cloud, which is where they'll be, right? They'll just always be everywhere that you need them.
Right. What's weird about the Photos app is that it's not going to be in Yosemite when it launches, right? Isn't that what they said?
It's going to be in the beginning of the next year.
But I'm assuming that... Yeah, that's the weird thing. So I'm assuming that Yosemite is going to have iPhoto in it when it first launches.
You're probably right. They're
not going to ship something that doesn't have a Photos app.
There's
like,
no way. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm sure you'll still have the option to download iPhoto and Aperture, the old versions. They're just not going to make it any better.
Right.
Yeah, I think they are going to make it compatible. They're going to make it compatible with Yosemite. They're just not going to improve them. And
I don't understand how Apple has, like, they have screenshots of the interface and then they like demoed it and it looks like it's done, but for some reason they can't include it when it launches. Like, they're waiting until next year. Like, it's not even like a month later. It's in 2015. Like, what's the hold up there? That doesn't make any sense.
So you're saying the Photos app for Yosemite is delayed a whole year?
Yeah, it's delayed until next year, like the beginning of next year. Yeah, that's what Apple said.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah, you're right. That doesn't make any sense.
Is there some weird, like, contractual thing? Like, I mean, it just doesn't make sense because the app looks done. Like, they have it. It's not like they haven't shown it. So,
well, maybe they're showing you limited functionality. I mean, just because it looks done doesn't mean it is done.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how it's a stripped down version of iPhoto. Like, how complicated.
No, it's not a stripped down.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it is.
It has lots of new features as well. It'll have search. It'll have extensibility. It'll have some of those pro features from Aperture, is what Apple told Ars Technica. Some of those will come into the new Photos app. So I think it's more than just like your bare bones Photos app.
No, yeah, I would agree with that. It just seems like it's kind of a priority application. Like, a lot of people rely on Photos, having access to Photos on their computer, and it seems like Apple
will still be there. Aperture will still be there. I mean, I think Apple's probably, their focus is probably going to be on finishing Yosemite and all that up first, so that's ready, and then Photos.
Yeah, I guess
it's like maybe that is. Yeah, they have resources on other things. I mean, they do have two huge operating systems coming out. For actually, maybe three with the iWatch. They might have like a secret version of iOS that they're preparing for iWatch as well.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it if there's a specialized iOS version.
Yeah, they probably has to be, because you know they're not going to put that old, clanky, kludgy iPod software on there.
No way.
Right? That doesn't even run apps. Like, it's iOS all the way, baby.
It's going to run Symbian.
Introducing Symbian for iOS. Hey, speaking of priority apps, Before we move on, I want to give a thanks to our sponsor, Smile Software, makers of the excellent Text Expander application. Alex, you said that you use Text Expander, right, in your daily life?
Oh, yeah.
What do you use it for, dude?
I've got a few.
Don't be shy, dude. What is it? Tell me.
Oh, okay. I won't be shy. I have a few shortcuts I use. Yeah. Like if I type mail with two M's, it'll
expand. You mean
expand.
M-A-L-E? What does that do?
No. Gosh.
Mail.
Yeah. If I do that, it'll expand to my email address.
That's cool.
I also have like an intro for when I'm sending emails to companies. If I like am asking for a review unit or an app or something, I have the date. I have my email signature. I have like certain passwords and like IDs and stuff that I use a lot. Yeah, it's great. Love it.
I use it for email too. So I use it for expanding little snippets into huge templates in email. And I do that for review units as well. It's great when you need to save time, so you're not retyping the same thing over and over again. Or you know what you end up doing is, hey, I sent an email to that one guy. What did I write? And then you have to go search for it and then find it and then copy it and then paste it into the new email and then edit it. With Text Expander, you just type one short snippet. I've got one that's going to seem silly that saves me a ton of time. I hit DDATE and it enters in the current date and time. That's all it does. And I use it probably multiple times a day, because how many times in an email, in a document, in anything that you're typing, do you need to enter the date, the current date? And you always have to type it in. It's like, who wants to do work over and over again? Not me. I know Buster doesn't for sure.
No way.
He's all about not doing that work. And one of the other things I use it for, which is kind of fun, is you can store pictures. It's not just code. It's not just HTML. It's not just email stuff in Text Expander. You can do pictures. So sometimes when people say something witty, I can type a little snippet and it brings up some of my favorite GIFs, animated GIFs. So it just replies with those animated GIFs. Because, you know, like, you got to have some GIFs on hand.
Yeah.
Buster, do you have some GIFs on hand? You
can I use, I have a ton. I've used a separate app to keep track of all of them.
I just keep them either in a bookmark or I keep them in a folder. It's that way when someone says something and the time has come, I break out one of my best GIFs and send it over to them. There's nothing better than replying to someone with GIFs.
Yeah, especially just one that fits it perfectly.
One that fits it just perfectly. Like a dog licking himself just in the right place. Or a guy tripping on something and falling over. You got to have the right GIF for your communications with your friends, with your business colleagues. And Text Expander makes all that stuff really great, and that's why I say it's one of the most essential utilities that I think everyone needs on their Mac or iOS device. Check it out yourself. Head on over to smilesoftware.com/cultcast. Give her a download and play around with some snippets. They have a bunch of them built in so that you'll be up and running in no time. And I want to thank Smile Software for supporting us and supporting this episode. Thanks, Smile Software! I should come up with some kind of cool, like, Text Expander makes me smile.
No,
that one didn't stick with you guys, did it?
Oh, it's like a really sweet one. I need something with a little more heft.
Okay, I'll think of something. Let's talk about, Buster, I'm going to go to you with this. Let's talk about Siri. Siri, my least favorite feature of iOS, who never understands me.
Yeah, well, true, like, that. If you just slur all your words, she'll never get good at understanding you.
Now, I should say, I'm normally highly inebriated, you know, like, so I slur a lot. So that could be my main problem. I know there's people out there who have less problems than me, but Siri might be getting better. According to a new report from Wired. Is that right, Buster?
Yeah, supposedly Apple's hired a bunch of speech experts, and they're looking into doing, what's it called, a neural network, so that the more people that use Siri, the smarter it's going to get. I thought that's what already is supposed to be happening, but apparently Apple's using some like old technology that Nuance has, while like Google and Microsoft are using some pretty new fancy software for theirs. So Apple is looking to like do the same thing with a bunch of experts helping them out.
So you're saying that Siri's new processor will be a neural network processor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be very sexy. Yeah.
that was a straight up line from Terminator 2, I think, by the way. Well, hopefully this fixes the problem because, dude. I mean, Siri needs to get better.
There's she can so never much stuff understand
that
she can me.
Do. She never understands you either.
No way.
I and thought I you swear were I
didn't talk that bad.
Well, I think it was Leander that said he didn't have a problem that often.
Yeah, Leander doesn't. It's probably
shockingly, out of all of us, Leander's the one that doesn't have any issues. The guy is always hammered.
I know.
But it still gets it right with him. I was also reading that Apple hired Alex Acero to be the senior director in Apple's Siri group. And he was a speech technologist at Microsoft for 20 years.
Yeah. Have you seen the Skype feature where it's like the Star Trek translator thing where it automatically yes. translates your whatever you're saying? It basically he was behind that.
Really? Or part
of the team behind it. Yeah.
Wow. So there's hope.
There is, yeah, definitely. It could be pretty exciting, you know.
It makes
features.
It makes sense, right? Because if the iWatch comes out, I have a feeling Siri will be a big part of that. Because you're not going to type things on your wrist,
so right?
What do you mean, man? That would be such a great experience. It's like your phone, but the screen is smaller, and it's on your wrist.
No, that's Android Wear. No, but I mean, it makes total sense, right? Like. Even Tim Cook was recently talking. He was in China and he was talking about how he's observed everybody in China walking around talking to their phones instead of typing. And I have friends like that here that are they speak everything. Like it's really actually weird and kind of socially awkward
into their phones.
Yeah, like instead of like I have several friends of mine will instead of typing will like hold their phone up to their face and like cover it really quickly, and you can tell they're like speaking a text because they hate. Typing and they think it's faster. So
I mean, I hate typing too, but my gosh, what ends up happening when you do it verbally is you say it and then you get pissed because it didn't work, and then you have to go in and fix everything via typing.
Yeah, yeah. It's an even bigger pain to like try and do a voice to text one, man. It's
yeah, horrible. For sure. Alex, talk to me about 1Password and Touch ID integration, because I thought this was actually a really cool example of what we could expect, you know, come iOS 8 with new hardware.
Yeah, it's really cool. 1Password already has a beta out for iOS 8. Not you can't just like go get it, obviously, but
you got it because you're special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. They've already integrated the Touch ID API. Mm-hmm. Ooh, mouthful from iOS 8, and the extensibility share sheet integration in Safari. So you can use Touch ID to unlock 1Password now, which if you haven't used 1Password, it's not going to make as much sense, but users of it will understand it's kind of a hassle to have
it's
to
enter.
It's
a huge hassle because you have password that you have right. to enter to open that, and exactly. you're typing this crazy password, and then it opens, and then you have to go get your paste.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But now it's literally like if you're in Safari and you need to fill out a web form, you go to the share sheet, tap the 1Password icon, Touch ID, and it fills it in.
And I think this is a really good example of other applications as well, because these applications that you use that may be a hassle to open, that are password protected, now can use Touch ID. So you just touch them, they open. And the extensibility is very cool too, right? Because before, as you were saying, you had to go into 1Password, find your correct password, copy it, and then go back to Safari and paste it in. And now they can actually talk to each other.
Yeah.
And so it's just like available right there, like it is on your computer.
It's really cool. It's totally frictionless. Like it creates this frictionless experience on mobile that we haven't had on iOS. I think it's good. We're going to start seeing apps be a lot smarter, and it's going to feel more like a desktop type experience in terms of just stuff working together. And I think it's going to be really cool.
I know Colton Mack spoke with David Chartier. Is that how you say his last name?
That's a good question.
Anyone want to correct me?
Chartier.
I met him at Macworld. I should know this, but it escaped pronunciation.
One of the guys from AgileBits, and he said that Apple actually made it quite easy to integrate Touch ID.
Well, yeah, they did this in like 3 weeks. I mean, literally.
Wait, that's
like,
easy?
Like the iOS 8.
3 weeks, jeez.
The iOS 8 beta came out, and like 3 weeks later, they had this beta with all this stuff in it already. So it seems like it is pretty easy. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Well, it definitely makes it, it makes it fun to hear that kind of stuff because, you know, iOS 8's obviously coming out this summer. We're going to be getting new hardware. And it just sounds like iOS is maturing so much, it's going to become a lot easier to use. Along the lines of iOS, apparently, according to a user on Reddit, Apple Maps is being updated every day now, whereas before, it, I don't know how often it was being updated, not very often. But everyone kind of knows Apple Maps has been somewhat of an issue the last, I don't know, many months, and takes you on really crazy detours and has really inaccurate data sometimes. Buster, remember when we were going to pick up Alex in Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Perfect example. Perfect example. We're going to pick up Alex from his hotel in a rental car. And iOS Maps is telling us to turn around and go back to where we came from. We're like, that doesn't seem right. So, but we're like, oh, you know, Siri knows best. We turn around, start heading up, and sure enough, the Maps app took us back onto the freeway, and it was like, your destination is on your right, and we were on an on-ramp about 300 feet off the ground, and there it was.
The Russian prostitute house.
The Russian prostitute house, Las Vegas. And we had to go all the way back to downtown Las Vegas, get off the freeway, and get back on to go pick Alex up.
4 mile detour to correct Siri's BS, man.
All we really needed to do was go straight another 100 feet and then take a left.
Guys, I was getting so bored.
Yeah, I know. We were really concerned about that. And so apparently this Reddit user provided some evidence that if you report inaccuracies in Apple Maps, they're being addressed quite quickly now. So that actually gives me hope. If you are finding things in your Maps app aren't right, instructions aren't correct, landmarks, points of interest aren't correct, you can report them. And the legitimate ones, so they seem to be, they're being vetted in some way. They're not just going through automatically. But the legitimate ones are actually being changed. And hopefully in the next, you know, year, if enough of us chip in, we actually might have a reliable Apple Maps app.
Don't hold your breath, man.
I'm not. Because here's the thing. I mean, Google Maps is great, but I'm such a map snob. Apple Maps, the animations are so silky smooth.
Yeah.
Like Buster's chest at the beginning of summer.
It just looks very pretty, you know?
Yeah,
exactly. It's perfectly manscaped.
It's perfectly manscaped. That's a great way to put it. And even though you may be going in the wrong direction...
Oh, that doesn't matter because it's just a delight to use.
It's a delight to get there. And like so many things in life, that's you know, that's the entire point. It doesn't matter where you're headed as long as you enjoy yourself. So I feel like we're still talking about Buster's body. Are we talking about maps again?
I was talking about maps the entire time.
Yeah, me too. Don't try to trick me, dude. That's what I was talking about too. Okay, anything else to add on that? If not, let's talk about our last story of the day.
Oh,
no, you're good. Alex, not. You're good. Let's talk about Steve Jobs, guys. We haven't talked about him in a while. Oh. Do you not want to talk about Steve Jobs?
No, just bless his soul. That's all.
Were you yawning? I thought it'd be fun to tell this story. John Brownlee on Cult-O-Mac wrote a fun story about how Steve Jobs always used to eat lunch alone at the lunch table in the Apple cafeteria where Leander can neither confirm nor deny that he was with Apple team members sometime in the last 2 weeks. And a former consulting engineer, David Black, speaking to Business Insider, said that he worked at Apple for nearly 12 years, and Steve Jobs would come into the lunchroom, and within 15 to 20 minutes, the entire room would clear. And he would always eat lunch by himself like a unpopular middle school kid. You would think that if he did this a few times, eventually he would just eat lunch in his office. Isn't it kind of embarrassing? For 12 years, you come in and everyone clears out of the cafeteria.
I heard he always ate with like Johnny Ive and stuff.
Really?
A lot of this is, a lot of this is just hearsay. It's like, we got to be real with it. Like, there's so many stories like this that come out, and it's like one engineer's experience. So it's like he always ate alone for 12 years. Like, Really?
So you're saying that David Black is a dirty liar.
I just don't buy these one person stories that then it turns into like this was Steve Jobs for 12
Steve
years.
Steve Jobs was a loner at the lunch table for 12 years.
No one ever wanted to trade lunches with him either. I believe this. I don't think it happened every day, but apparently,
I guarantee
stories.
He wanted to sit by Steve Jobs, unless you were like a higher up.
Yeah, know? Man. Would you want to sit next to Steve Jobs if he came into the cafeteria, Alex?
Like, if you're working on like a project and that you know Steve Jobs is going to bust your balls on, and you're just
after hearing
like,
all of the stories of him screaming at people.
Yeah.
And pointing and spitting, like, would you honestly go and just be like, hey, Mr. Jobs, do you mind if I eat my Cheetos next to you?
I don't know.
Eat Cheetos next to Steve Jobs?
Yes.
You're crunching is far too loud.
That's you, man.
What department do you work in? Not anymore.
Pack up.
We're moving you to Apple Valet. You wouldn't even be in Apple Valet. You'd be like removed from the premises immediately. And apparently, according to the story, he liked to freak people out, get in their heads, and really mess with people. So like he would pretend like he wasn't happy with your answer, even though he was just fine with it. And then when you started pooping yourself, he'd be like, oh, hey, just kidding.
Stop pooping yourself.
Stop your pooping. Did you finish? Did you finish that poop? I was just joking. I'm Steve Jobs. All right, well... should probably go ahead and wrap it up there, right?
I guess so.
Stop your
slow week, man.
Stop your pooping. might be the episode title. Yeah, hey, slow news week, guys. Admittedly, but that's okay.
That should be the title. Slow news week, guys.
But see, that could be the title in so many different weeks.
Yeah.
It's the fresh comedic perspective that we bring to all of these mundane stories. That makes us one of the most popular podcasts in the world.
Oh.
World.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a big leap. I can't verify if that's true, but that's how I feel about it. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm just going to roll.
We're the BBC of Apple Podcasts. The Al Jazeera.
Al Jazeera of Apple Podcasts.
Gruber and the talk show have nothing on us.
No, they really don't, except for
besides
facts. Besides
facts.
Yeah, facts that
informed opinions, keyword
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. But hey, we do it with panache. Ultimately, that's what's important, right?
Yep,
I agree. Well, hey, with that, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the cult cast we have for you guys this week. Hope you guys in the U.S. of A. have fun with your sparklers, have fun with your pipe bombs, keep your appendages safe. This has been the cult cast, the best. Longest 30 minutes of Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Goldcast come out every Thursday night. And hey, come hang out with us on Twitter, won't you? I'm at Airfon, E-R-F-O-N, Buster's B-S-T-3-R, Alex is Alex E. Heath. Want to thank all of you guys for listening, and we'll see you guys. Let's do it together, guys, in true 4th of July United fashion. Ready? Next.